ready.
It's a bluebird day here in Jack's backyard. So come on in and chat with us a while.
It's time for Jack's Backyard on the Voice of Berks County, 830 AM WEEU. Views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership, or sponsors of 830 AM WEEU. And now, here's the host of Jack's Backyard, Jack Holcomb.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. It's time once again for 2 hours for another journey with Mother Nature right here on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks County and beyond. Jack Holcomb here, along with the studious producer, Linda, who has returned from a busy 2 weeks. And it's good to have her back and have that smiling face across the way. I want to talk to you later. I'm going to talk to you later, okay? Because I wanted to explain what she was doing. I think she was bird watching, but I'm not too sure about that. Well, anyway, what a great week this has been. On Wednesday, I had 9 emails reporting the return of hummingbirds. And then, as the days moved on, more reports of returning migrants, thrushes, warblers, vireos, house wrens, and more. And needless to say, migration is in full bloom. What have you seen? Oh, one more thing. On Thursday morning at 5:30 in the morning, I was up with my first cup of coffee, and a wood thrush was singing in my backyard. I never saw it, and it was only there not even a minute. But that song is really unmistakable, and it was really a first and a welcome beginning to my day, if you will. Oh, before I forget it, those important phone numbers, 610-374-8800 or 888-401-0459. I would very much enjoy listening and talking with you on this spring morning. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call. And remember, there are helping hands out there to always help us out of any kind of dilemma, nature speaking. Right here in the backyard. What a wonderful season, and there's so much to share. The backyard gate is open, so you come on in. Join us today, and we'd love to chat with you right here in Jack's backyard. Well, let's start, as always, with our current events. And I have a postponement, which probably is a bit late, but the Baird Ornithological Club had a walk scheduled today at Hay Creek, the Hay Creek Watershed, and that walk has been postponed until tomorrow. And if you want to meet, Russ Hoffman will be leading that walk, and the meeting location is Old Route 82, and the parking area on 2000 Hay Creek Road in Birdsboro. So that's postponed this morning, but will take place tomorrow morning. Also today, by the way, butterflies and botany. And the Baird Club, along with the Mengel Natural History Society, will be moving around Neversink Mountain beginning at 10 o'clock this morning. They'll be looking for butterflies flying in the early spring, and this is one of the few accessible Berks County locations. Meet at South 10th and South Streets in Redding. South 10th and South Street in Redding. And let's see, Carl Gardner, Brian Woolwine will be leading that walk, and they really know their butterflies and botany and birds too. So that is today. That's 900 block of South Street is where you would meet for that walk at 10 this morning. And then next Saturday, the Baird Club will be holding their walk, their spring walk at Noldy Forest at 8 o'clock in the morning. Join BOC members for a walk to search for spring migrants, including Louisiana water thrush, other warblers, Acadian flycatchers, perhaps. Maybe also you can catch sight of the barred owl, which usually nests in that area. Linda Ingram will be there, and you can meet in the Sawmill parking lot. Sawmill parking lot at 8 o'clock, and that is next Saturday with the Baird Club. Okay. Let's see what else is happening in and about our area. There's Family Nature Fest today, a free family event today, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Union Meadows East, which is just off Campbell Forge Road in Douglasville, behind Fork and Ale. Live animal demonstrations, crafts, free food and drink, and just Berks Nature will be there, Hawk Mountain Sanctuary will be there, Naturelands Trust, Schuylkill Highlands, Penn State Master Gardeners, Berks County Conservation District, just all kinds of people, Berks, the Pennsylvania Game Commission. They'll all be there today, and there'll be bird tours as well. 10 a.m., 2 p.m., Union Meadows East, just behind Fork and Ale down there in Douglasville. Well, let's see, Berks Nature on April 28th. That would be tomorrow. Tomorrow, a kids' yoga series. And that's at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. You can join yoga instructor Ms. Shelby for kids at 5 p.m. at the Nature Place. A great way to enjoy nature and mindfulness. So that's $10 per child tomorrow, Berks Nature at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, let's see, the Quitapahilla Audubon Society up there in Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, they have a field trip scheduled for Monday, April 29th, a Warbler Walk number 1, and that will be held at Obie Road and Michter's Road, meet at 7:30 a.m. at the old Rexmont Dam parking lot. And that will be Monday the 29th. On Wednesday, May 1st, our Warbler Walk number 2, State Game Lands 156 by the Cornwall Fire Tower, and meet at 7:30 a.m. at the State Game Lands parking lot. So that's Wednesday, May 1st for Warbler Walk number 2. And then Thursday, May 2nd, State Game Lands 145, Observation of Migrating Songbirds. Meet at 8 a.m., State Game Lands 145 parking lot near the White Barn off Epler Road. And then, Friday, May 3rd, Warbler Walk number 3, State Game Lands 211, Cold Springs and Stony Valley. Meet at the upper parking lot on Memorial Lake, 7:30 a.m. So there you have it. And by the way, if you want to find out more about these walks, just go to their website, which is qasaudubon.org, qasaudubon.org for more information on their programs and their warbler walks and whatever else they have scheduled. By the way, they have I have something else from them, too, as I move along. Hawk Mountain Sanctuary, Wednesday, May 1st, A Wee One's Walk, Flower Power. That's from 10 to 11:30 a.m., $15, $10 for members. Spring is in the air and summer is on the way. Let's explore the wonderful wildflowers and all of their wonderful shapes and colors. Designed for children 3 to 5, registration is required, and all you have to do to register for the folks at Hawk Mountain, go to hawkmountain.org, hawkmountain.org. And then on Saturday, May 4th, Wonders of Wildflowers. From 1 to 2:30 p.m., $10, $5 for members. You can join local ecologist Dr. Chris Sachi for a walk around the sanctuary featuring the identification of spring flowering plants and general information about forest ecology. Registration is required for that. That's Saturday, May 4th, 1 to 2:30 p.m. Also Saturday, an accessible warbler watch. Saturday, May 4th, from 8 in the morning till 9:30 a.m., free for members, $5 for non-members. Join Hawk Mountain staff on the accessible trail connecting the amphitheater, visitor center, nature habitat at the Habitat Garden, and up to the scenic South Lookout, and all along the way checking for warblers. Meet at the visitor center, so that's next Saturday from 8 a.m. until 9:30. So there you have it. That's a busy, busy time. Hawk Mountain Sanctuary, a busy time for birds and wildflowers and so much more that nature has to offer. The Lancaster County Bird Club has some field trips scheduled. They're offering 7 to be exact in total during the month of May. Participants are to register with a trip leader no later than 6 p.m. the day before the trip, and the trips are free and open to the public. Next Saturday, May 4th, 3 warbler walks are offered. Chickies Rock County Park, 7 a.m. start. Middle Creek Wildlife Management Area, 7 a.m. start. And the Pumping Station Road off 322 with an 8 a.m. start. So that's 3 next Saturday. And to find out more and the contacts, just go to LancasterBirdClub.org, LancasterBirdClub.org for more information on those warbler walks. It is the time, and earlier the better, so you can get out and enjoy. Next Saturday, Trexylvania Backpacking Essentials, sponsored by the Blue Mountain Eagle Climbing Club, a full day of skills workshops to help you bridge the gap from day hiker to overnighter. Now that will be next Saturday, 9 to 5, full day, at Rentschler Arboretum, 200 Arboretum Road in Burnville. Join us for a full day of backpacking workshops covering gear, skills, and recommended practices. You will leave this event with the confidence and knowledge and safety to take on any backpacking trip. That's great. There will be special instructors there to include for you, whether through hiker or section hiker or scout leaders, experienced backpackers. That's a $15 registration fee, and their light lunch will be provided. So if you want a backpack and you need information, that's the place to be. Rentschler Arboretum next Saturday from 9 to 5. That's great. I mean, that is absolutely wonderful. For more information, you can go to bmecc.org, bmecc.org for more information on Trexylvania. By the way, the spring open house at the Monocacy Creek will be held next Sunday, a week from tomorrow. And as part of that, there will be the Sierra Club is sponsoring a morning bird walk at 7:45 a.m. So that's a week from tomorrow as Monocacy Hill celebrates their spring open house. And we'll have more details on that next week. But it's always a big event. Burke's Nature is sponsoring a night for nature. you can join Burke's Nature for a night for nature by the celebration of serving the community for 50 years. Saturday, May 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Rookery at the Nature Place. And the dress code will be spring cocktail attire. And you should find out more and to register. All you have to do is go to burkesnature.org, burkesnature.org. A Night for Nature, a 50th anniversary fundraising dinner. Saturday, May 18th, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Nature Place. And I mentioned earlier the Quitapahilla Audubon Society is having their annual banquet on Tuesday, May 21st at the Hebron Banquet Hall, East Walnut Street in Lebanon. The doors open at 6, eating at 6:30, and the program will be Meet the Magnificent Marbled Salamander, a program presented by David Hand. You'll have a great meal and learn more about the marbled salamander. To find out more and to register, registration must be done by May 11th. Just go to qasaudubon.org, qasaudubon.org. The cost of the meal, $25. And that does it for our current events. That's all the time we have for that event today, or those events today. If your organization is sponsoring any kind of nature happening, I'll be more than happy to publicize it for you. No cost, but I need the information. Put the information on a postcard, put it in a letter, send it to Jack's Backyard, WEEU 34 North 4th Street, Reading, Pennsylvania, 19601. However, the best way is through my email, which is jkhbird@aol.com. jkhbird@aol.com. I'd like the information 1 week, 2 weeks in advance would be absolutely perfect. And all of you comply, and I am more than grateful. Right now it is 17 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. We're in hour number one of the backyard. Bill Urich joins us today, along with Brant Portner from Middle Creek, and master naturalist Mike Slater will be with us as well, as we all learn just a little bit more, or a great deal more, as the case may be, right here in the backyard. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459. And let's begin proceedings by saying good morning to Rosemary. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you. It's good to hear from you.
Well, I have two questions for you. My husband bought a bag of thistle seed, and he filled a sock that he had left over from last year. But the goldfinches aren't coming in to eat from that, and we don't know why.
How long has it been up? How long has it been up, Rosemary?
Well, about 2 weeks now.
And you do see the goldfinch?
Oh, yeah, they do come in, but they don't go on the bag. They go to the other bird food we have out. And if they do land on the bag, they're only there for a few seconds, and they take off. So we don't know what's going on with that.
That's interesting. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of time for them to get used to it. And also there are other ways to feed the goldfinch. A couple of things. They have a goldfinch feeder, which is metal, I guess it is, which takes the use of the sock away, which they usually love that. But anyway, there's another feeder you can try. And also, they also like, in addition to the thistle or Niger seed, sunflower chips, the very fine chips that you can buy. And you can actually mix those with the Niger seed if you want. Some people don't even use the thistle seed because of the cost, and it's cheaper to do the sunflower seed. So you have that choice. I would not take it down. I would leave it up just a little bit longer.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we'll try that. And another question, the other morning, it was such a sight to see. There must have been 12 to 14 blue jays all at one time, all over the feeders and in the yard. And so what was that all about?
Well, probably some of them are moving and gathering. There are some that migrate and will be coming back, are coming back just now. In addition to the ones that we have here all year.
Yeah, there were so many. It was hard to count how many there were. But it was easy, 12 to 14, all at one time. So it looked pretty.
Did they hang around for long?
We saw them a couple of days. And usually it was in the morning or either early evening.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers, we don't have that many numbers coming in.
Yeah.
We do have some that are still here, but not like I saw the other day. So I was just wondering why there were so many of them.
Because you have a banquet for them, that's why.
Oh, okay. Well, my husband did buy the black oil sunflower seeds to attract the cardinals, but it seems to attract everything else.
just about. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay, Jack. That was all I had to ask you.
Well, I'm glad you called today. Thank you very much, and have a great weekend.
You too, Jack.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is The Backyard, and I'm glad that you're along with us today. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459. And let's go up to Blandon and say good morning to Pat. Hello there, young lady. How are you?
Hi, Jack. I'm doing fine. How about you?
Good, thank you. Good to have you aboard today.
Thank you. My question has to do with the bird flu. Virus? Is it a virus? When I'm refilling, I have like a squirrel buster feeder.
Mm-hmm.
Is that transferable to us as we refill? Do we have to be cautious, or what's the story on that?
Well, we did have, it's all over everywhere, and there was actually one, I believe it was a sparrow, reported in Berks County that had the flu, the avian flu. That was the only one. Usually the songbirds do not have it, as evidenced by the large number of ducks and geese and even other birds that are, and other animals perhaps that have had it. So the key here is basically keep the feeders clean. Because, for example, if it rains this afternoon and the bird food becomes wet, that's one way to transfer disease very quickly.
So do we literally need to, when it's empty, occasionally completely wash out our feeders? More so than like in the fall and in the spring, which I generally do. I haven't touched it to wash it internally at all, on the outside.
If you feed in the summertime, it's very important because of the heat and the moisture.
Okay.
So it's just a good idea to do it actually all year, but I think more importantly in the warmer weather.
To do it more frequently then.
Yes.
That would be
yes.
Good. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Glad you called, okay. Pat. Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
This is Jack's Backyard.
More of your calls on Jack's Backyard here on The Voice, 8:30 a.m. WEEU.
All right, it's 8:28. That's the good morning time. By the way, let me mention a couple of things. Have you checked out our website, the new website? It is absolutely incredible. And just go to 830WEEU.com, 830WEEU.com. Also, a complete list of podcasts available for you, including Jack's Backyard. And the rebroadcast, by the way, of this program will be heard next Sunday from 8 until 10. Tomorrow, you'll hear last week's program. from 8 until 10. Sunday mornings, rebroadcast of Jack's Backyard right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. And speaking of beyond, we go beyond the studio to say good morning to Bill Urich. Bill, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm not quite back of beyond, but I am beyond. I am up here on Mount Penn walking around. Don't have much of a migration right now. Didn't get any warblers or vireos this morning. But in the last week, I had my first, last Sunday, I had my first house wren and a warbling vireo. I had a warbling vireo down by the river, but that kind of surprised me because, you know, that seems a little early. Usually get blue-headed vireos before the warbling vireos, but I guess I'm going to – it just reminds me of my failure to get all the vireos last year. Maybe I'll have to try that again this year. I'll have to scope out a place to get a yellow-throated vireo and white-eyed vireo before I decide to pursue that Philadelphia vireo up at Hawk Mountain in the fall. And maybe I'll do that this year. Maybe I'll get it. I don't know. But, a lot of the regular birds are around. I'm really kind of – it's remarkable how gold the goldfinches are. I know you were talking to somebody about feeding goldfinches a little while ago, but I don't know. It seems to me that the males are really gold right now. Maybe I'm just getting forgetful and old, but I always thought they sort of got more breeding plumage a little bit later. But I don't know. But there's a nice presence of goldfinches up here on Mount Penn. And towhees have been here for a while. And this morning I saw a towhee with nesting material sitting in a thing. So I dutifully pulled out my phone, opened up the eBird app, and put the CN code into the breeding bird atlas for carrying nesting material. So I did my duty this morning to the atlas and dutifully reported that eastern towhee with nesting material, even though... Yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, once it gets June, this place is overrun with towhees. I guess they can just say any bird that's here in June, the end of June, is nesting. But I guess I have to be very specific and actually see little young and fledglings and feeding habits and things like that, you know, just to be totally on the scientific side. But once again, I'm sort of trying to ease my way into doing this whole atlasing thing, and we'll see how it goes. Earlier this week, I was downtown Reading in the morning, and the falcons have been up there, but I didn't really enter the falcons yet as a breeding species. I figured I'll just wait until the young guys pop up there and put it in as a fledgling. But they've been there for doing the nesting thing. And I saw one of the male up on the courthouse in the morning the other day, so that's good.
Absolutely.
Chimney swifts. Chimney swifts are sort of driven and driving in. Last Sunday I was driving over the Buttonwood Street, or earlier in the week I was driving over the Buttonwood Street Bridge, and it was the old out of the corner of my eye sighting. you know how that goes when you're driving.
Yes.
You know, you swerve up. Oh, there's a chimney swift. But I then only saw... we were walking through Charles Evans, which, by the way, Charles Evans is beautiful right now. All the flowering trees that they have in there, it's really a beautiful walk through there. And I was just sort of scanning the Reading skyline, and I saw two chimney swifts over the city. But I haven't really seen a big chimney swift presence yet, and that seems to be a little bit late for them. But we'll see. As time goes on again, I'm sure they'll come pouring into the city this week.
Well, I have a question for you. Are the leaves covering the birds?
Oh yeah, the leaves are out. Yeah, I wanted to mention that. Yeah, the leaves are here. it's a little bit more challenging now to be looking up into the trees. But you know, any day you're out looking up into the trees is a good day, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was Mike or someone else told me, or I read it, that elevation is really keep that in mind when you're looking for warblers.
Right, right, yeah. I know Mike mentioned last week about going to places where you can look into the tops of trees, and, you know, Mount Penn really does satisfy that. I only went as far as Drenkel Field this morning. I need to go down to that List Road intersection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's always seems to be a nice hot spot for birds, but I didn't really, as I say, at Drenkel Field, it was, oh, my memory is now coming back. I had my first great crested flycatcher this morning, my first catbird. Although right. people have seen them, I'm sure, earlier, but around here, that was the first. But anyway, back to that. I always like up along Skyline Drive for warblers because you can look out and you can see the treetops almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to, you're not bent back like 180 degrees skewered, you know, trying to look straight up. You can almost get like a 30 degree angle and or 45 degree angle. And so that makes it a lot easier to see the birds, and it helps your neck out a little bit and your back. So that's really the way to go. And that's pretty much where I'd like to be. I've been down in Birdsboro a couple of times this week, and I just remember all the times going down to Birdsboro to the quarry, the reservoirs down there.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't been doing that recently, and I just sort of missed doing that. But, wow, I wonder if cerulean warblers are still down there at that along the Hay Creek. I hope somebody's doing that for the Atlas, because the cerulean warbler would be a great find.
Absolutely.
For the Atlas.
Absolutely.
I've also been noticing the swallows. I think I've got tree and ruffling swallows. I haven't seen a barn swallow yet, but I don't know if I'll get all the swallows. I guess last week I haven't gone by Lake Onalani, the dam breast, this week, but I think last week somebody reported that the cliff swallows are back, which
yes.
is good.
Yes.
So things are happening. Things are happening. But they're not happening fast enough for me right now.
Well, we wish you a good week, my friend, and hope that the numbers increase and they poke themselves between the leaves so you can see them.
Oh, I hope so.
Okay.
Well, you take care. Have a good week.
You too, Bill. Thank you. There he goes. That's the one, the only Bill Urich. Time slot right here, Saturday mornings on Jack's Backyard. It's 24 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. We're in hour number one of the backyard. And right now we're going to Schuylkillhaven to say good morning to Brian. Brian, how are you today?
Hello, how are things?
Oh, things are okay so far.
Yeah, yesterday, 2 days ago, I was on my back porch for 45 minutes. And I was testing my Merlin app, of course, you know, seeing what's critical. I had 30 species in 45 minutes.
Wow.
Quite amazing.
Very good.
And of course, I don't trust Merlin. I'm making Merlin test me, you know. But Baltimore Orioles, and yesterday I saw my first catbird. But the reason I called was a little bit of a story, a little bit farther from your backyard. My wife and I just returned a few days ago from a Panama Canal cruise.
Mm.
And I actually added 16 birds to my life list, which isn't bad when you're not really doing a birding cruise or
right.
birding tour.
Right.
We went out of Tampa, and our first stop was in Cartagena, Colombia. And they have this real neat eco park, which is part of the port area. And they have, there's monkeys and sloths and all kind of parrots that they have brought there. If they have an injured parrot someplace and they get it back in shape again, they'll bring it to that eco park and sort of cut it free. And it's up to them. Do they want to go back to the jungle or do they want to stay there because there's food there, and a lot of them stay there. But the birds that I was picking up were not the they were actually wild birds.
Right, right.
Things like cocoa wood creepers and toady flycatchers and social flycatchers. It was quite amazing.
Oh, wow.
Black-chested jay. I mean, we're talking a jay here that's like gray and white, not striped or anything, but its whole chest is black.
Mm-hmm.
And our next stop was in Culan, Panama, before we went through the canal. That's right on the Gulf side. We did an eco cruise. They bussed us over to the lake there that makes up 21 miles of the Panama Canal, like Gatun Lake, man-made lake.
Okay.
And there was a busload of people fit into this boat. And we went along the shoreline and saw various birds, and we saw howler monkeys and sloths and stuff like that. But I have Northern Jacano in my list from when we were in Florida or something, but this time I added a wattled Jacana.
That's great.
And a southern beardless tarantulette. The northern beardless tarantulette is actually in the U.S. bird books, but this was a southern one. So it was quite impressive. We went through the canal, which was very interesting. And then our next stop was in Puerto Quetzal, of course, Quetzal being a bird name, in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a port area, it might be an acre, that's wooded, and the whole thing is strung full of buildings, shops where the people are selling their goods, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I was bird watching, and I picked up 4 life birds just walking in that port area.
Oh, that's great.
Good things like golden-fronted woodpeckers and golden-crowned warbler. And what was neat, I had a Swainson's thrush right there with me. You know, one of these that... And then when you talk to the people, they said, oh, you should be here a few months ago. That's when we really have birds. It's like,
yeah.
No, if I go to Panama or Guatemala, I want to be there when our birds are up here. I don't have to sort them out too, you know?
Good thinking.
So, that's, I guess, enough of my talking. We'll leave somebody else talk.
That is so neat that you had the opportunity. And Panama is really a good birding area.
Oh, my. You read these different stories, and they're saying, like in Colón, Panama, whatever you do, don't walk through town. You don't ever want to walk through town. It's that bad.
Okay.
Nasty. With, you know, the people, that you drive through, and everything is junked up, and it looks like it's a poor town.
Yeah.
But we rented an air-conditioned bus, and it took us out of town, and we had a good time.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad you shared that with us, too, Brian. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jack. Talk to you another time.
Happy travels.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is The Backyard, and you're listening to it right here on WEEU. That's the voice of Berks and beyond. Phillies San Diego Padres play baseball late this afternoon, I believe. 4 o'clock or so? I think that's when they play. They're on the West Coast anyway. You're listening to The Backyard, and let's see. Let's take care of some business, and then we'll get back to your calls right here in The Backyard.
Here's your host, Jack Holcomb.
Yes, that would be me at 14 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. That's the good morning time, and time to say good morning to Brant Portner, the environmental educator at the Middle Creek Wildlife Management Area. Brant, good morning. How are you this morning, young man?
Oh, Jack, I'm all right. I'm off today. However, I'm spending my time volunteering out at Blue Marsh Lake. They're having their volunteer day today. So, yeah, it's a good day. It'll get me working and warmed up out here in the cold morning.
Very good. Very good.
I got some stuff for you.
Okay.
To hear about.
Let
me go through our events quick, but some birding related things. We got some popular birds right now at Middle Creek. There's already this spring's off to a interesting start. Kind of near our Willow Point area where people park to usually see the snow geese. On the other side of the road, there's a sora and an American bittern right now, kind of dueling for the eye of the photographer.
Oh, that's great.
So it's been some excitement this last week.
Very good. Good birds indeed. Someone sent me pictures of those, as a matter of fact.
I have yet to see the sora, and I've never seen one before. So I stopped there kind of when I'm coming in the morning or leaving, and it has yet to reveal itself to me. So hopefully hangs around for a little bit yet.
I hope so.
All right, so our event's coming up in May. I'm going to run through these in order of date. So our speaker series for May is May 8th at 6:30 p.m. in the auditorium. This one is titled Wildlife Health in Pennsylvania, Why It's Important and How You Can Help. Dr. Erica Miller is presenting this program. She is with the Wildlife Futures Program through PennVet at University of Pennsylvania. She does a lot of stuff on the side as well, like banding raptors and snowy owls, and does a lot of necropsies on things that die for whatever reason. They try to find that out. Now, as I'm sure you hear a lot, there's often a lot of misinformation on wildlife health issues, whether it's chronic wasting disease or even just something that's a little mangy. So I think this is a good program for people to come out to. We get a lot of calls at Middle Creek. I know Hawk Mountain Sanctuary does too, about something that's injured. The Game Commission doesn't rehab animals, and neither does Hawk Mountain Sanctuary, but there are groups out there that do that. So it's important for people to kind of know what's worth worrying about, what's something you can do on your own, or just, you know, if you see it, kind of just let it go. You don't need to call someone about it, and who to call for that stuff. So I think that'll be a good program for people that care about wildlife.
Very good. I like that idea.
All right, so we have another event. This is hopefully going to become an annual event if it is successful this year. So we have a World Migratory Bird Celebration, or World Migratory Bird Day Celebration. That will be Saturday, May 11th from 10 to 2 at the Visitor Center. So we have our Wildlife Art Show, we have National Hunting and Fishing Day, and we're hoping to sort of add this to the mix of things. World Migratory Bird Day is an event that's been going on around the country and around the world for many years now. It kind of just celebrates twice a year. In fact, there's kind of a day in the spring and in the fall, and other organizations have been hosting these. It celebrates just that time of year where we want to focus on so many of these migrants that are moving across the continents. Now, at our event, we're going to have a bunch of vendors, whether it's things focused towards native plants, whether it's going to be organizations that have speakers in the auditorium talking about stuff, local bird clubs, some different government agencies. We're kind of partnering with the DCNR on this one. So, yeah, we've got like 20 vendors lined up, and I don't know what to expect. This is our first time doing this, so we're going to see how it goes, and if it's a success, we'll make it an annual event.
Brent, you mentioned the Wildlife Art Show. Is that going on at the same time?
That is not. That's in August. So
that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And this is kind of our spring one, and the National Hunting and Fishing Day is at the end of September. So we didn't really have anything big in the springtime. Not that we don't have enough going on already, but the other option would have been having it in the fall with that sort of second World Migratory Bird Day. Because as you know, birds don't migrate just once a year. They do it twice, so... we picked the spring date for that one. I think Hawk Mountain Sanctuary has a World Migratory Bird Day as well once a year.
That's right, yes. Very good. My goodness, you're busy.
And I have one more, and then I'm going to be out of breath, and I'm going to have to go. So our last one for the month is our Outdoor Explorer Series. Again, this is more hands-on outside. This is a wetland wander. So basically, near the Visitor Center, we have different ponds and impoundments that are managed for wildlife. This is going to be an opportunity to go down and check some of those out close up, talk about what's going on in these wetlands, not just for wildlife, but a lot of other things, macroinvertebrates, plant life. And if you're coming to that program, which is, I don't know if I said that date, May 18th at 10:30, meeting at the Visitor Center and then walking down, wear like muck boots or stuff that you might be able to get a little wet in case we're kind of stepping into some wetter areas. There's lots of wet soils around these wetlands. That's the name, but we'll get to explore that and do some hands-on work.
What's Migratory Bird Day again? Did you say the 8th?
The 11th.
The 11th, okay.
The 8th was the speaker series. I'll be in the auditorium. That's a Wednesday. Right. Yep, and then that'll be the 11th, which is a Saturday for World Migratory Bird Day.
Okay. Sounds like a full schedule for the merry month of May at Middle Creek.
Yes, sir. Hopefully we have good weather, and I'll take a vacation after that.
I bet you don't.
you'll be right.
Thank you, Brent.
Yeah, of course. You have a good day. Take
you
care.
Too. You as well. This is The Backyard right here. Saturday mornings between Animal Radio and Classic Rock, which comes your way following the 10 o'clock news on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. And let's go back to the phones. Let's see. We have Joe up next. Joe, thank you for waiting. Good morning.
No problem, Jack. Haven't called you in a long time. Nothing really happening in my backyard, just the usual. Now I have the cardinals nesting and the mourning doves. Of course, I'm enjoying the bald eagles at park. I think there's one nesting. But call next week, but I don't think I have. Wish you a happy birthday. Some birds told me there was a birthday coming up. I just want you to keep on keeping on. And I hear you're in good health. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much, young man. I appreciate that. I decided not to have one this year, but if you insist, I'll take that.
Well, you're allowed.
Okay.
All right, Jack. You take care now.
You too, Joe. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is Jack's Backyard. And we'll get right back to the calls right after this.
The Voice, 830 WEEU Weather.
Here's the exclusive three-day AccuWeather forecast. Some sun, then clouds. A cooler day today. A couple of brief showers around for the afternoon. High today, 57. Cloudy tonight, low 47. Partly sunny, a much warmer day tomorrow. The high up to 84. And then times of sun and clouds on Monday, the high 87. This is Steve Williams reporting for News Talk 830 WEEU.
Welcome back to Jack's Backyard on the Voice of Berks County, 830 AM, WEEU.
And right now it's 47 degrees, 47 outside your AccuWeather station. That would be WEEU. Let's see, this would be Nancy and Shuey. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning from Shuey, and I want to ditto Joe's wishes for a happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you for the card as well.
Yeah, okay. It'd be a better morning if I couldn't get rid of this house sparrow. Now, for years, I've had two boxes pretty close together. I had tree swallows. Like I told you the other week, I have not seen any tree swallows. Therefore, this house sparrow is persistent, and I'm just as persistent to get rid of it. You know, they have them boxes where you put a trap inside, you trap it alive. It is just so smart that it trips it and it just doesn't get caught. I'm extremely frustrated. But this is the third nest that the bluebirds are building now because I keep putting up another house.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't get discouraged when the tree swallow started putting a nest on top of the bluebird box, on the nest that was already there. So I took that one down and I put up the box that has the trap inside to trap it live. So I got nothing else to do besides to watch for this stupid sparrow.
Yeah.
But he is so persistent, and like I said, I don't know why I haven't had any tree swallows. I mean, it's pasture, and there's, you know, animal, poop in there and stuff, so prime property. This, like I said, the third nest that this bluebirds are building now, so it's the same pair, big. I just don't know. There was something on the program last week about protein. The birds that knows how many eggs they can lay. How did that go?
Is that protein or calcium?
I thought it was protein. Was it calcium then?
I don't remember. I don't remember, Nancy.
Well then, I don't feel so bad.
Which is not unusual for me.
Well, if anybody, I thought it was protein that. determines how many eggs they can lay.
Well, that's a food, of course. That's why the birds, in addition to, let's say, bird seed, you know, they'll go to get creepy caterpillars, and they'll get bugs, and they'll get anything else, because that's where the protein comes from.
But I often wondered how, you know, after they lay like three, now there was four eggs in the nest, and I guess it was a wren that took them out and destroyed them because there was none to be found. And then they build the second nest. And so I just wondered how many times the birds can actually lay nests when their eggs are destroyed. I mean, it's just amazing.
I think that's a good question. I have no idea, but they'll keep going if they like the nesting site. It's secure for them. I guess they'll keep trying.
Yeah, just if anybody knows the answer to that, because this is, like I said, the third one, and the second one didn't have any eggs in it, but the first one they were destroyed. So we'll see how many eggs get laid this time. But it's just amazing how they just keep laying eggs.
Yeah, that's. Let us know. You keep track of that, okay?
Okay. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. This is Jack's Backyard, and we probably don't have time for another caller. So if Audrey and Stephanie want to hold, that's fine. We'll take your calls following Mike Slater's time on the program, which follows the news at the top of the hour. Or you can hang up and call back. It's up to you. We'll be here. We're not going anywhere. Okay? All righty. Do I have time? I guess I don't really do. Anyway. So let me pass along. The email address, folks, is jkhbird@aol.com. That's jkhbird@aol.com. Thank you for all of the great emails I received this week. It was really busy because of the migration, and that included photographs. I don't think I got any videos this week, but I got lots of photographs, and I thank you very much for sharing some great photographs, as a matter of fact. And again, many of you taking those photos with your phone, which the quality just seems to be getting better and better all the time. So thank you very much. jkhbird@aol.com. And the postal address is Jack's Backyard, WEEU, 34 North 4th Street, Reading, Pennsylvania, 19601. Well, that's our clue to get out of here. We have to make way for news at the top of the hour. That's from ABC. And then back with Master Naturalist Mike Slater. He'll be with us at 9:05, and then we'll return to your phone calls right here in the backyard.
Return to Jack's Backyard. Here's your host, Jack Holcomb.
Good morning once again, everyone. Good to have your company in the backyard on this Saturday. And good, nice morning. Rain in the forecast this afternoon, perhaps. So we'll wait and see. We'll have the complete weather for you as we move merrily along. 610-374-8800. Out of the area, toll free, 888-401-0459. And of course, it is that time to say good morning to Master Naturalist Mike Slater, who joins us every Saturday morning about this time. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. I'm trying to remember all the things I want to talk to you about this morning. I should have written a list.
Go ahead, start wherever you want to.
Got added to. First thing at the Union Township, Robeson Township EcoFest today down in west of Birdsboro at the Union Meadows area. I'm going to be leading a walk, we've decided, on 11:15 this morning to look for migrants in the woods around the old desilting basin trail.
Oh, very good.
So in 2 hours and 15 minutes, if anyone wants to come down or was already planning on coming down, I'd be happy to see people then.
Very good. Thank you for that.
That was just, the time was just settled finally this morning. We were debating, so that's why we couldn't give you a 2 week notice.
Okay.
The other thing is the gentleman that called about the Panama Canal cruise brought back a lot of memories for me. My wife did a cruise through the Panama Canal in this time, 2017, and it was all the shore trips were sponsored by the American Birding Association and a company called Carefree Birding, which does birding tours off of cruises. So all our shore trips were birding.
You're breaking up, Mike.
Can you hear me now?
Try again.
Can you hear me now?
There you go. That's fine.
Okay. And so we were birding and out in the country in places in Panama, Cartagena, Colombia, Guatemala, all the places he named. It was a wonderful trip.
Oh, very good. Very good.
So we did see some birds.
You're breaking up again.
We did see some birds at from the shore in the trip, but most of them were on our day trips that we had lots of good birding with local guides. The other thing, migration is happening.
Yes, indeed.
Last night at Birdcast, or this morning at Birdcast.
Was it 470,000 or something like that?
I think it was only 408,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was one of the bigger nights of the year so far. So there might be a lot of birds out there. And tonight's not going to be very many birds moving in, but the next two nights after that should bring a lot of birds. And it looks like it's going to be good conditions for migration here in southern Pennsylvania. But northern Pennsylvania and New York on north, it isn't going to be. So maybe a lot of birds will be stopping here instead of just passing over.
I checked it on, was it Wednesday morning, I think. There were over 1 million birds.
Yeah, this wasn't the biggest night. There were a lot that have been coming through, but a lot may have been passing over too. We want a fallout where they all just stop here for the day. So we'll see. We want to just have a big conveyor belt bringing migrants to southeastern Pennsylvania.
The one of the questions that came my way this week was people saying that the migration is early this year, and I think we've talked about it before. It may be a little early, but not that much?
No, I don't think it's that much. What makes it seem early is what Bill mentioned. The leaves are all out on the trees. The leaves used to not come out until in the first week of May.
That's right. That's right.
And so it's just we're being fooled by the fact that spring seems to be here earlier. And we did have our first hummingbird Thursday morning. I saw him briefly. At 7:30 in the morning, he came for a little drink at the bird feeder. And then this morning, half an hour ago, I just had a brown thrasher poking around for seeds under the bird feeder. That's the first of those for me. But no warblers, orioles, or grosbeaks or anything for us yet here in our yard.
Oh, that and I know it's going to happen soon.
All the oaks are in bloom. They're supposed to be here. That's what they like.
Nancy posed a question this morning that I'm not familiar with, Mike, and that is, how many times will a bird lay eggs once the nest is destroyed, then they go back again, and then the nest is destroyed or has a competition with a house sparrow, then they go back again?
I'm sure it's at least three times. I'm sure someone studied it, too. I don't know. It will be limited by protein and calcium, as you mentioned, for them to females to lay the eggs. But I remember a picture in my old Audubon, one of my Audubon bird books, of a yellow warbler that was trying to discourage a cowbird building nests. So
breaking.
They lay a nest with eggs, and the cowbird would lay eggs, and then the yellow warblers in the Midwest build a new nest on top.
Yeah, you're breaking up again, Mike.
And there were five layers.
Five. Wow.
In that yellow warbler nest that they had built a new nest on top of the one that the cowbird had laid an egg in.
Well, again, what time are you going to have that hike down there behind the, what is it, Forge and Ale?
The Fork and Ale.
Fork and Ale?
Yeah, 11:15.
Okay, well, go and see some good birds for us, would you please?
I hope so. I want to see a few warblers today. I'm hoping for a northern water thrush. That's very good northern water thrush habitat down there.
Okay, well, I wish it you along with some of the other, like the Louisiana water thrush, if you don't
know. Yep, they like it too, but they like running water but more. This place has the vernal pools with the still water. That's okay. What the northern water thrush is like.
Okay. Well, enjoy, and thanks for joining us this morning, young man.
You're welcome.
Take
care.
Have
a great week, Jack.
You too, Mike. Bye-bye. Master Naturalist Mike Slater, right there in Jack's backyard. Well, no, actually, not my backyard. No, not many birds in my backyard right now. It is 13 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. Back to the phones we go, and let's say good morning to Audrey down there in Delaware County. Audrey, thank you for waiting. Good morning.
Good morning. Is it your birthday?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No.
When is your birthday?
Soon.
Oh, you're not going to say. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, there's my resident robin. He's looking for seed. I'm sitting looking at my deck out here. I did get to see my... I can't think of the name of the bird. the one I saw the last week, it came back anyhow. The Phoebe.
The Phoebe.
I found where it was. Where it must be nesting down in the end of the woods. So I heard it. So I walked down and got a couple. Actually, got a couple of really good pictures.
Good.
For how high it is in the tree. But I am calling this morning because I have concern. I'm looking at this little finch on my feeder. Looks like a young one. But you're saying it's too early, correct?
Right. There. I couldn't push the right button. Too early for the finch? No, not at all.
Okay. It's not too early for a house finch to have a young one.
Borderline. They're nesting. I know that for sure.
Okay. Well, either way, with this one, I'm looking at him, and he looks a little puffier like a young one, but... He has, the one eye is fine, but the other eye, it's all inflamed around it.
Yeah.
Like a ring around the eye where it's just all puffed up, like it's puffed up in red.
Yeah.
Where the ring around the eye would be.
It's conjunctivitis.
That's what I thought. It's not avian flu?
No. Mm-mm. It's conjunctivitis. Okay. And it's still in the house finch. Still suffers from it along with a few other birds, but not to the great degree that it was several years ago.
Okay. So it's not any of the signs, because I was looking up the signs of the bird flu, so it's not the bird flu.
No, I would say not.
Okay, because the other thing I saw was a couple birds apparently left a nice couple little runny presents out there on the deck, and I figured, well, seeing that thing, and I wasn't sure. Sometimes you don't always, when you look these things up, you don't always see all the signs and symptoms. And I wanted to make sure, and you're the expert.
No.
Saw the runny thing, and I'm like, oh, so should I clean that feeder out and keep that down?
I would certainly clean it out. That's keep it down, that's up to you.
Okay, because I have a couple. I can always stick on the deck rail.
Sure.
The seed. They all come.
Yes.
Squirrels,
yes.
Everybody. Blue Jays. I've gotten some peanuts in the shell, and I've thrown them out on the grass below the trees. Figured the squirrels would come and get them. Blue Jays were quicker.
Of course they are.
They would just dive bomb in. And...
if they hang around, word gets around very quickly with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, well, there's one right on the deck right now. He's looking for more stuff. So how long would it take to pass for that conjunctivitis for the?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Unfortunately, I would check the other house finches and check all the birds when they come in if you get the chance.
Okay, it could be just the one. What would cause that on them? I mean,
it's a disease that they. I don't know how many years ago it was now that it almost wiped out the population, certainly put a dent in the population at the time. But they have come back strong, but it's still evident every once in a while.
Okay. All right. Well, they'll just have to get the stuff on the deck rail. I mean, I get them all coming in, and it's the time of the year when they're all looking for food to enjoy the mating. It's so nice when you see the male feeding the female.
Yes, yes.
And so I've seen that with the cardinals and the finches, and I've also seen it with the red-winged blackbird to the female, which was really nice to see that.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed.
All right, well, Jack, you and everybody out there have a great day. It's beautiful right now.
It is, and you enjoy the birds, and thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you for your help on that. I appreciate it. Have a great day, Jack.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard, and let's move merrily along. Let's go to Sinking Spring and say good morning to our good friend, Theanna. How are you this morning, young lady?
Good morning, young man. Happy birthday to you.
Not yet.
Happy birthday to you.
Not yet.
Happy birthday, dearest Jack. Happy birthday to you more. Have I given you a headache?
No. Thank you very much. You're very kind.
I have a question about woodpeckers. I belong to Cornell Lab, and I tried to find what I saw. It was larger than the downy woodpecker, but smaller than the northern flicker. It just had red at the back of the head and a pale yellow breast. Would that be the hairy one?
There's yellow in the bird?
The breast.
It's a yellow-bellied sapsucker.
Oh. I never had that one before.
Which is a member of the woodpecker family.
Mm-hmm, yes, I thought it might be because of the red head.
Yeah, that would give it, the yellow would give it away.
Oh, okay. And what's it called, the sapsucker?
Yellow-bellied sapsucker.
Sapsucker. Okay, well, thank you. That's the first time I've had one like that.
See, your patience is paying off.
Well, I do get the northern flicker from time to time, and I have several downies arrive.
Good.
From time to time. But thank you. I enjoy your program. I don't call very often, but I do listen.
Well, I appreciate that.
And sometimes, if I don't go to church on a Sunday morning, I also listen to the rebroadcast.
I don't know if that'll take the place of church or not, but I...
Well, you know what, young man? It makes my day.
Okay. Thank you, Thea.
Thank you so much.
You take good care.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. The Backyard right here. News Talk 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. And there's a line open for you, and, yep, you too.
8:30 a.m. WEEU.
And the temperature remains at 47 degrees. 47 right now outside your AccuWeather station, WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. Well, you know, it's nesting season, and Wild Birds Unlimited has what you need to take care of our feathered friends. Their nest boxes have proper drainage to keep baby birds dry, equipped with a two-way opening system that makes cleaning and monitoring a breeze. Calcium is one of the most challenging minerals for birds to find what they need, and Wild Birds Unlimited's nesting super blend bird food will provide that essential mineral and protein for fledgling families. So be a good neighbor to the birds. Visit Wild Birds Unlimited at their Sinking Spring store on Shillington Road, or along Lancaster Avenue in Wayne, and also on Tillman Street in Allentown. That's Wild Birds Unlimited, and a great sponsor of this program, and we are grateful to them for picking up a sponsorship. They've been with us forever. All it seems like that. It's been a long time. It's let's make it 9:24 in case you're interested in the time, 9:24, and let us say good morning to Stephanie in Spring Township. Steph, how are you today?
Oh, I'm so happy. It's a great morning out, and I've already been out and around quite a bit, and the trees are so beautiful. Just get out and drive around and enjoy all the beautiful pink and purple trees. I mean, the red buds and the the red oak leaves. I mean, it's just spectacular. So,
absolutely, well said.
Yeah, and you will see in the suburbs, you will see bunnies and robins and cardinals in the grass too. So you can't miss. What I'm calling about is the other day when I went to vote, I vote down at the Penn State campus in the little stone house down close to the river. And they have an herb garden planted out front. And after I vote, I always walk around there a little bit just to, you know, look at the plants that are coming alive in the spring and just to listen to the birds and everything. And I saw a new bird for me, and it was a tiny little blue-gray on the back and white on the tummy, blue-gray gnatcatcher.
Great birds.
And this was the sweetest little bird. He's almost smaller than a chickadee. I mean, they're really tiny.
Yes, they
are. And he was not scared of me. He was hopping around in the new mulch looking for bugs. And he just kept, I stood very still, and he kept coming closer and closer, and he wasn't concerned about me a bit. And I kept wishing, because I didn't know what kind of bird he was yet. I hadn't had the ID yet. And I kept wishing he would make a noise so I could hear what kind of sound he made. And I kept hearing a new noise up in the trees that I wasn't familiar with. So after he flew away a little bit, I got my phone out and found out he was a blue-gray gnatcatcher. And then I turned on my ID on my phone for the songs, and here the other three or four birds up in the trees around me were also gnatcatchers. So that new song was there, and it's a funny little, it's not a song, it's not a warbly song, it's kind of like a raspy whistle or something.
That's almost a whisper compared to other bird songs, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can't mistake it. Once you know it, you know you're listening to a blue-gray gnatcatcher.
and usually one of the first birds to come north.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why I've never seen them before, except that maybe they're so tiny. Maybe they're more of a woodsy bird. But and it's kind of woodsy over there, too. Remember last year when I voted, I told you about all the robins, like hundreds and hundreds of robins that were flying in to roost for the night in the bamboo stand there by the parking lot. And that's like a habitat for robins when they're migrating. And I noticed in the parking lot that they have cut down about two-thirds of that bamboo this year. And I hope they're not going to you know, get rid of it entirely, you know, by killing it or something, because I mean that was a real habitat.
Perfect, really.
Yes. And also, besides the gnatcatchers rooting around in the mulch, I believe there was one female rose-breasted grosbeak, too. I'm familiar with them. I called you about them before, and I'm almost positive that's what she was. And then, when I went back to my car, I saw three deer.
Wonderful nature experience.
I know. That made it worth the voting right there.
That's great.
And everybody's wishing you a happy birthday, so I don't want to be the only one who doesn't. So happy birthday, Jack. God bless you and everybody who listens.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it, Steph. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459. I heard a bird song this week that I thought, oh, there's a robin, and so I went to my Merlin, and I just thought I might know what the bird is, but it wasn't a robin. It was the rose-breasted grosbeak, and I'm going to play the call for you right now because it does sound a little bit, I'll say that, a little bit like the robin. Thank you. So that is the rose-breasted grosbeak. So there you have it, the rose-breasted grosbeak, and not a robin, Jack. So I couldn't remember. But anyway, that's 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459. Let's say good morning to Avery. Avery, how are you today?
I'm good, Jack. How are you?
Well, I'm not too bad, thank you.
I should have had two birds. I'd like to know the color of the egg. Would you know that, like when they have the eggs? Are they blue? Are they white? Are they gray? Speckled?
What bird are you talking about?
The bluebirds.
They're oh, gosh. I believe they're white.
White?
I honestly, you know, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go and get my I think I have a nest book here. I keep forgetting to bring that in during nesting season. So during the next commercial break, I'll go get that book, and I'll look it up for you to be sure, okay?
Well, thank you so much. And again, happy birthday. My heart is still pumping. So that makes our Saturday morning beautiful. God bless you, and I'll listen for that. Thank you, Jack.
Okay, thank you for your patience, and thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. There's so many, I guess. I think I have two or three books on birds' nests and eggs and so forth, but I keep forgetting. But I'm quite sure I have it here, but we'll have to wait and see. This is The Backyard. Let's say good morning to Susie. She is up next. Susie, how are you today?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you?
Oh, I'm right close to almost alive. How's that?
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had some of these nice birds that people have been, and that you have been mentioning. I had rose-breasted grosbeak, which you just played the call of. He just arrived about 3 days ago, the male, and he was up in the tree singing, and he stopped at the feeder, ate a little bit, and left. He didn't stay.
Okay.
Yeah. And, the other one, they come through, the males come through first, and then gradually the females join in a little bit later.
Right.
Yes. So, And then the hummingbird was there, just arrived. The male hummingbirds, that's the same situation. They come in the morning, and then they come and feed throughout for a couple of days, and then they continue on.
Yeah.
It was nice to see that. I haven't seen a male hummingbird for a long time.
Oh, that's you know, there, and I was surprised, and it seemed to happen all of a sudden on Wednesday. My emails were full of hummingbirds arriving in Berks, and I thought that's really neat, because especially the timing and so many at one time.
Yes, that's probably when you said you had that bird cast with all those millions of birds flying through southeastern Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And there's been, the catbird just arrived yesterday.
Good.
And I suspect there's going to be more, and it's time to stock up on suet. They can go through a suet feeder in a day. Yes. So it's been nice to see. And then the brown thrashers have been coming through. And it's great that, and the house wren. I heard the house wren the other day.
Good.
So,
and all the goldfinches just look so beautiful right now. And everybody's, everything's blooming now, the plants and everything. It's just a great time of the year.
Do they seem, do the goldfinch seem brighter earlier this year for you, as indicated from a previous caller?
Yes. Yeah, they do. They do. I noticed that, too. I don't know if there's some kind of food source that they're getting to that's allowing them, that they're, that's affecting their coloring, but they do look very bright. It's more so than ever this year.
Well, that's that. They're great birds to see, and they certainly brighten up a yard.
Yes, maybe too, because we've had so much gloomy, rainy weather the last couple weeks, and then when we see these goldfinches, it like brightens everything up.
That's right.
Even more so.
That's right. Very.
Yes.
A good report, Susie. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, and have a great week.
I certainly will try if you will.
All right, thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye. This is The Backyard, Saturday mornings right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. We're here between animal radio and classic rock, which follows the news at the top of the hour, 10:05 to be exact. And let's go right back to the phones. Larry, good morning. How are you today?
Great, Jack. Good to hear from you, buddy. I got a quick question for you.
Okay.
Is there any reported cuckoos in Berks County?
Oh, yes. Especially now we have probably both on migration, the black-billed and the yellow-billed.
Correct. I was out at Shiloh Elementary School. They got a nice little walk back there yesterday where I walked my dog. And, boy, it sure sounded like a cuckoo, but I had my app on, and it was very loud, but it didn't pick it up.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good loud call. You should be able to hear that.
It is a loud call, and I was very surprised. I'm extremely happy with the app. I just heard a yellow throat a couple days ago.
Good.
That must have been coming through. I didn't see it, but I did hear it. So I do appreciate it. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate your time, Jack.
Well, I appreciate the call, Larry. Thank you so much. Call again.
I'll do it.
Okay. So long. This is The Backyard, 610-374-8800. Out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459. Don't forget, weekday programming on WEEU, the best there is. Mornings with Mike and Bob, Mike Keller, Bob McCool. Get your day off to a good start. You bet. Find all kinds of good things, plus a good dash of humor, which I enjoy. Wakes me up in the morning. And then, of course, on to the news of the day, good friend Bill Saunders with feedback. He's on from 9 till noon. Dan Bongino, 12 to 3. And The Ramsey Show, 3 to 6 for you right here on WEEU. And don't forget the 6 o'clock shows that we have. We have Tuesday in the morning, the Money Doctor, and then Wednesday, Health Talk, and then Thursday, Idle Talk with the folks at King's Auto, Ashley and Tom. So that's all kinds of good things for you weekdays, weeknights, right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. Well, let's see where we are here. We're 21 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock. And we're going to say good morning. Is that up to Bethlehem? We're going up to Bethlehem to say good morning to Tony. Tony, how are you?
Hey, Jack, I'm hanging in there.
Very good.
It's hard to see with all the pollen. Yeah. It's like fog up here.
Oh, it's really heavy right now.
I was hoping for better weather, but, well, I guess it's coming.
Yes, it is.
No, I called today because I saw an unusual bird I've never seen in the area. I was up at my friend's place in Walnutport because we have a few feeders out, and she has a mobile home right at the edge of the woods, so you get all kind of everything coming through the place. And I saw this white and brown and black bird that I wasn't quite sure. I had to dig my bird book out to find it. Turns out it's an eastern towhee.
Very good. Excellent. Good for you.
I never saw one before. I mean, not in, in real life anyway. But.
Yeah, they're here, Tony. There's no doubt about that.
But for the area that I was in, I guess it was unusual. Or maybe I'm not too familiar with them. I've never seen one before. And the juncos are still hanging out, too.
Wow.
I thought they'd be gone by now.
Yeah, mine have been gone, I guess, a couple of weeks. Well, probably 2 weeks anyway.
Well, with the weather being so up and down all the time, and then it gets cold up in the Poconos, I guess they don't know where to go.
Yeah, the towhee, by the way, some of the towhees are migratory, while others will stay here all winter, but not too many of them. Most of them do migrate.
It was a pretty large bird, too. I was surprised. It had a long beak, and it was white under the breast and stuff, and then like this funny-looking, I would say like a dog bone-shaped orange on the side under its body. Mm-hmm. But it come out as an eastern, and they had different ones, but this thing was really bright with color.
That's great.
I was really surprised.
Yeah, this time of year, all the birds are brilliant.
Yep. I did see a lot of goldfinches, but they're more towards up towards New Ringgold area. I spotted quite a few of them out, and they are really bright, too. They almost look fluorescent.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Well, that's all I got to report for now.
A good report. I appreciate the call, Tony.
Yep, no more bears.
Okay.
I haven't seen any, although I found my Wild Birds Unlimited suet feeder again in the woods.
Oh.
So somebody is having fun with it. But now the suet cage is gone. All I have is the frame, so I got to see if they can help me get another one for it.
I think they'll be glad to help you out.
All right, maybe they got some that are bear-proof. Everything else is squirrel-proof. I haven't seen anything yet that's bear-proof.
I think that's a good point. Thank you, Tony.
All right.
Stay Take well. Care, you too. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard right here. WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond.
WEEU.
And thank you very much. And Avery, we do have the information for you. I'm quoting from my Peterson Field Guide, Birds' Nests, by Hal Harrison, and I'm going to read exactly what it says about the eastern bluebird's eggs, okay? Normally 3 to 6, sometimes 4 to 5 eggs, oval to short oval, shell is smooth and glossy, pale blue, bluish white, occasionally pure white, unmarked. They are plain. There are no marks on them at all. So they are a pale bluish or white. Pale blue, bluish or white, and sometimes all white. So there you have the colors of the eggs for the eastern bluebird. And from now on, folks, during this time of year, I'll bring that book in with me. So so there's never a doubt. Let's go back to the phones. All righty. We're going to say good morning to Marcia down there in Boyertown. Marcia, how are you this morning?
I am very well. I have some exciting news, I think. We babysit in Jonestown on Monday, and Seth sent us a picture during the day that from along the little swatty where they were working, he saw a red-headed woodpecker.
Wow, that's great. Very good.
And I was wondering whether there have been any reports in Berks County about the red-headed woodpeckers this spring and where they might be seen, or even last year if they were seen and where they might have been seen. We haven't seen any since the late 70s when we lived in Ole and used to bike ride
Yes, they were in that area. Down in the Yoli Valley, we used to see them there quite regularly. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've heard locally this spring, but there's certainly some around. I just don't know where they would be.
Well,
if anybody,
crossing our fingers that somebody will report it and we'll get to see them again.
Yeah, if anybody's listening and knows the whereabouts of the red-headed woodpecker, let us know. General area, please, so we can rather than
that would be terrific.
Yeah, so we'll keep our fingers crossed for you, Marcia.
We also had one hummingbird arrive on Wednesday, also. So Wednesday must have been the magic day for the beginning of hummingbirds in our area too.
I was kind of amazed. I was kind of amazed that it happened all at once with that great number. I don't recall that happening before.
Well, it seems to me like it was a little later this year than last year. I have to check my little notebook as to when it happened last year. So we were waiting and watching, and 6 o'clock Wednesday, there it was at the feeder.
That's great. Very good. Very good.
And then the last report, we have a suet cake hanging. And the other day, we had a hairy and a downy woodpecker on the suet cake at the same time. And when we talk about, you know, the difference of size and how to identify it, it was just cool to see them both together and say, yep, absolutely. We now can tell the difference between the hairy and downy.
Very good.
At the same time, that was a treat.
That's the very best way to tell the difference, really. No question about it. Have them there at the same time, or at least one following the other.
Yeah. Well, you have a great weekend. Happy birthday a little early. And we'll keep our ears open to hear whether anybody has seen redhead woodpeckers in Berks County.
I hope we can help you, Marcia. Thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. Let's move merrily along. 10 minutes before 10. That's the good morning time. Time to say good morning to Bill, I believe. Bill, how are you today?
Just fine.
Good to have you with us.
I was looking up your phone number, and I came across Jack's Backyard Bar and Grill. Are you affiliated with that?
Unfortunately not.
Yeah, they said you weren't there. Anyway, I was calling about catbirds. I wondered when they were coming, and I don't remember when they came, or I never knew when they came, but the lady just said she had some, and I wondered when they would be coming.
They're showing up now.
Because I already have the Carolina Wren. And they have a nest, and mm-hmm. they're feeding their babies like crazy.
Yeah.
And then I came, for the first time, I have Phoebes, which is unreal. And
that's great.
I was sitting out a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I was getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. And so I sat out the last couple days. I remember from my grandparents had Phoebes up in New Jersey, and they came back every year. And I knew they ate a lot of mosquitoes over there. Well, anyway, I sat the last couple of days for a little while, and I saw no mosquitoes. So I just wonder if the mosquitoes if they're taking care of all the mosquitoes.
Yeah, the tree swallows will do a pretty good job. Purple martins do a pretty good job, and the other birds will go after them as well. But the swallows, I guess, are most famous for that. But I'm sure other birds will take advantage of them too.
I don't have any of them. So, yeah. So mostly I was just curious about the catbird because I usually get a couple who come up and have over two nests around my area, so it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I had some reported this morning, and I had some reported this last week, so they're here, certainly.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I was just curious.
I'm glad you called. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. By the way, the walk that Mike talked about, Mike Slater talked about, during Nature Fest down there in Douglasville, I guess that's where it was. The walk is at Fork and Ale is the place to go. I guess that's a restaurant. The Fork and Ale is that Is it Birdsboro? It is. I'm trying to think. Yes, I guess it is, not Douglasville. Well, anyway, Fork and Ale Restaurant, 11:15 this morning. Okay. Do you have more? Is it Birdsboro? Douglasville. It is Douglasville. Fork and Ale in Douglasville. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Linda. I appreciate that. Fork and Ale, Douglasville. I have trouble keeping track of things once in a while. I have time to say good morning to Charles this morning on the program. Charles, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Jack. Happy birthday and all that stuff. And the ruse you've been doing for the last several years. You're only 29 years old. We all know that. Get over it. Let's go to the next thing. Hi, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Charles. How are you?
Great. I want to report my wife induced me to report the first. We had hummingbird outside, a little green thing.
a little green hummingbird.
A little green thing. I don't know, birds. You know that. At her pagoda high perch hummingbird feeder, little squat looking thing that is obviously attracting little green birds.
And you have just one hummingbird feeder out?
No, she has two, I think. Oh. Hummingbird feeders, yeah. And one of those fancy things that takes pictures of birds.
Oh, you know, that's great.
Online. So, yeah, we got all kinds of bird stuff out in the backyard. It was all because of you. You know, you inspired us. Anyway, I just want to report that hummingbird. Pretty cool.
Well, thank you for waiting. It's good to talk with you. Are you having a good spring?
Not really, no. It's a terrible spring. Horrible. Beyond comprehension. I mean, it's just terrible. I don't want to talk about it, Jack. Don't inflict pain on me.
Don't cry on the air, Charlie.
No, I'll try not to. Bye.
No, okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Charles J. Adams III, well known around Reading and Berks County, no question about that. Fork and Ale, Douglasville. Thank you very much, Linda. Are you there? I want to talk to you briefly, if you don't mind. I want to talk to you about where you were. Did you spend 2 weeks bird watching?
I did some bird watching, a little bit.
Be honest.
Just a little bit while I was out. You know, I did more in Arizona when I was there. But last week I was in New Orleans, Louisiana, for an archaeology conference.
And you actually delivered a paper.
I delivered a paper in Arizona. I delivered a poster in New Orleans.
I forget. See, she in addition to digging, she also paints and paints very well. And I just want to congratulate you on that. And
Thank you.
Arizona, you should have taken me along because that's great birding.
I know there was quite a few beautiful birds
up
there.
I'm glad. Are you more aware of birds since you've been producing the show?
Yes, actually. And sometimes I'll see them and recognize them now. And I'm like, I know where that is. That's funny.
She's been brainwashed, friends. She has been brainwashed.
I'm not complaining, though.
But archaeology gets you outside, and that's good.
It does, yes.
Okay.
It does. Well, I do enjoy being outside.
Well, continue, and good luck with your finals.
Thank you very much. I'll need it.
Okay. There you have it. That's producer Linda. That's right. Studious producer Linda. I appreciate that. She's great. Good. Do I have time? I see here. Linda, I have just about 2 minutes. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Hope you are too today.
I am, and I'm very excited because right after you talked to Mike Slater and had the conversation with him, there is a Baltimore Oriole sitting atop a bird feeder right outside my window.
That is great. That's wonderful. That's the first of the spring.
Yep. Well, I was really excited to see it, and he flew off, and I haven't seen him since, so that's probably been, you know, about 45 minutes or so. But sitting here now, too, I've been seeing the red-headed woodpecker go back and forth, getting his sunflower seeds, and I have had a pair through the winter.
pair of the completely red-headed woodpeckers or the red-bellied woodpecker?
Yes, and I have had them for 3 years now.
So that's in Douglasville.
That's in Douglasville towards, like, Weavertown area or Daniel Boone.
Very good.
Homestead.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
I was really excited to see them. At first, they only stayed, like, 3 or 4 months. But the past 2 years, they have stayed through the winter.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. I'm out of time, Linda. Thank you very, very much for the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, yes, it's time to get out of here, actually. There it is. Thought for the day. Thought for the day comes from Judith Wright, an Australian poet, who said, "Whatever the bird is perfect in the bird." All righty, we've got to make way for news. That's next from ABC right here on WEEU. Classic Rock follows. For producer Linda, yours truly, Jack Holcomb, hoping you'll have a great day today, a good day tomorrow, a wonderful week. And just be sure you have some time to have a bluebird day, okay?
And beyond.